Need to talk with someone about something you can't talk about with anyone else? You can talk to us. I'm Dr. Susan Block, your mistress of the airwaves, but my day job is director of the Dr. Susan Block Institute for the Erotic Arts and Sciences, specializing in sex therapy over the phone. Anytime you need to talk, whether you need serious psychotherapy or a hot phone sex experience, or a combination, my world-renowned telephone sex therapists are just a phone call away. Totally private, absolutely confidential. We listen, talk with you, advise you, role-play for you, fantasize with you, no fantasy is too taboo, and help you with anything from impotence to exhibitionism, fears to desires, fetishes to marriages. For more information, call us at 213-291-9497. That's 213-291-9497 anytime you need to talk.
You're listening to Radio Suzy One on the World Wide Web. And now, here she is, Dr. Susan Block.
Brothers and sisters, lovers and sinners, divine doms and naughty little subs, all you children of sex, and we are all children of sex, with a capital X. And sex is what we talk about here on Radio Suzy One. On the World Wide Web. Worldwide revolution. Worldwide sexual revelation. That's right, brothers and sisters. We are on your hard drive. And your wetware. And tonight, brothers and sisters, all you children of sex, we are going down. We are going down. Down into the dungeons of love. Down to the lower depths of the erotic theater of the mind. That big sex organ between your ears. That's why they call it erotica. Well, that would be audio erotica. But tonight we are talking about erotica of a certain kind. Yes, brothers and sisters. As those of you who know us know, here at the Dr. Susan Block Institute, we believe that freedom is the greatest aphrodisiac, but restraint is a close second. Yes, indeed. Bondage, discipline, lots of fun. And that's what we're going to talk about tonight, spanking, bondage, discipline. Submission. Yeah. Why? Why submit? Why does a smart, capable young woman or young man or old man, or MILF,
want so badly to submit to a sexual power that may or may not be greater than them, but that's so much fun to submit to. And I have some illustrious guests tonight in my studio. I have a very illustrious guest on the phone, but first I want to introduce our friends of the speakeasy, Dark Phoenix and Sasha Knox. Welcome.
Thank you.
To Radio Suzy One. Yeah, great to have you.
Hello.
And we met you at one of Master D's Broken Doors bondage sort of galas that we had here at the speakeasy. And we just thought you were great. Just really a cute couple.
Well, thank you.
We
very
try.
Cute, you know. With a little spanking and shoe licking and forced screwing and things like that. You know. Oh, hot stuff. You guys.
Oh, it was a lot of fun.
It was a lot of fun.
Yes, it was.
Well, I want to find out more about you and your dom-sub relationship. It is a relationship, right?
Yes.
You can call it that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You can call it that, whether it's business or pleasure, I guess.
Definitely both.
Okay. And my guest, I think, on the phone also combines business with pleasure quite a bit. Quite masterfully, even though she does a great submissive short story. Rachel Kramer Bussell, a.k.a. Racalita on Twitter, and one of the very first people I followed when I got on Twitter, by the way. And I'm just going to read you the first paragraph of her bio so we can all be suitably awed. Rachel Kramer Bussell lives in New York City. First of all, that's awesome, right? She is senior editor at Penthouse Variations and a contributing editor to Penthouse. She has edited over 25 anthologies, including Bottoms Up, which we have here, Spanked. Yeah, that's one of our books we're going to talk about tonight. The Mile High Club. I guess we got to leave that for another show. I don't know. We have to. And also, I haven't read that one yet, although I have joined it. Do Not Disturb, Hotel Sex Stories. I really want to read that one because we love hotel sex, don't we, Max?
Yes,
we certainly do.
Yes, we do.
It's actually
yes.
A fetish for us, definitely.
Mm-hmm. But we're not talking about that tonight, although, you know, sometimes I just can't control this show. It just won't submit to my will. But we're supposed to be focusing on BDSM. Tasting Him, Tasting Her. These are two other books that seem very exciting. Dirty Girls, Rubber Sex. Hmm. Naughty Spanking Stories from A to Z, 1 and 2. A to Z, 1 and 2. Sex and Candy.
Damn right. My two favorite things.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. We got that. Yes, ma'am. We got that. He's on top. We got to get that. She's on top. Caught Looking. Ooh, little exhibitionist voyeurism there. Hide and Seek. Cross-dressing. Ultimate Undies, Sexiest Souls, that's S-O-L-E-S, although I'm sure it has S-O-U-L as well. And what else? First Timers, Lambda Literary Award finalists, Up All Night and Glamour Girls, Femme Femme Erotica, and Best Sex Writing 2008, 2009, and 2010, for which she is series editor. Three of her books were gold winners at the 2009 Independent Publishers Award, Best Sex Writing 2009 for Sex and Relationships, and a tie between two of her books, of course, Tasting Him, Oral Sex Stories, and Tasting Her, Oral Sex Stories for Erotica. Her first novel, Everything But, will be published by Harlequin Spice Imprint in November 2010, we have to get that, sounds very spicy. And her first nonfiction book, The Art of the Erotic Love Letter, will be published by Cleese Press in fall 2010. So, welcome to Radio Suzy One, Racalita.
Hi.
Oh, there you are. Well, we're so happy to have you here.
I'm sorry I couldn't be there in person.
Oh, we're sorry, too.
Another time.
Yes, definitely. You have to schedule in a Saturday night into an L.A. visit. You travel a lot, don't you?
I do travel a lot. I live in New York, but I'm in Texas right now, in Austin.
So I heard from your Twitter. Wow. Have you had any BDSM run-ins there?
Not yet.
No, not with the cops or perhaps,
Oh, that's just another type of
BDSM
kink all
group.
Its own.
Yeah, I guess so. Well, that's a non-consensual type of kink. Rachel's books emphasize the consensual, at least the ones that I'm reading. The ones I've got here. Please, ma'am.
They all do. Mm-hmm. People send me all kinds of stories, but the ones I pick, I try to keep them hot, but also, work in that everyone wants to be doing what's happening.
Yes. But you could work in something with a cop. At least, I don't know if you have in some of yours, but not in the ones that I read, but that would be pretty exciting.
People don't send me that many cop stories, but I know that there's a call out right now, not my book, but someone else, Lesbian Cops. So I'm trying to write something for that.
Hmm. Well, cops need love, too, for their nightsticks, and their cuffs and stuff. Well, anyway, you do write about sex of all kinds, but tonight we're focusing on these books, the BDSM genre, and I have in my studio that I introduced to my audience, but they're members of Dungeon Core, Sasha Knox and Dark Phoenix, and Racalita, Rachel Kramer Bussell. So, Rachel, tell me about your emphasis on BDSM lately. Is that just because, hey, why not do that? Because you do everything else? Or did you have a particular personal interest?
I have a particular personal interest. I would say the spanking books. I've actually edited 4 spanking erotica books, and hopefully we'll be doing another one. And that topic, I think, is just really popular because it kind of spans the range of, newcomers or people who are just curious to more, people who are, dedicated spankers or, kinky people. And I think spanking is something everybody knows what that is.
Everybody does, and everybody has some feeling about it, I think it's more and more acceptable, and a lot of people like it, but some people are really, horrified by it.
That's true. I think there, even now, there's still some confusion in certain circles. Most people I know personally, there's not really confusion, but there's sometimes that confusion of, what is the line between BDSM and, non-consensual acts. And I think there's also this idea, sometimes I've seen stuff written about that's been in my books where people say, I would never try that. And it's not, I don't think it's for everyone. And I don't think everyone has to, enjoy those things. And I also don't think you have to personally enjoy them to enjoy reading stories about them. I think that's the point of erotica, that it's fantasy, and sometimes it's going to go beyond what you would do in your life, but you might get off on reading about someone else doing it.
Yeah, I often tell people, think about your dreams. You have these wild dreams you would never want to do in real life, but they sort of even out your life somehow, because if you can't dream anymore, you go crazy.
Mm-hmm. And I feel that way about writing. I work out a lot of things in my writing. Some of them are true or based on things that I've done, but a lot of them are things that I might think about, but I can live them out, on the page. And I think that's true for a lot of writers and readers, too.
Now, in your book, Please, Sir, which is the female counterpart to Please, Ma'am, and of course we hear a deep sigh from Sasha. Because I think she resonates to this
very much so. Please, sir. And it begins with the statement that submission is an art form.
Mm-hmm.
Would you say that that's true for you, Sasha?
It absolutely is an art form. It's a way of life. I always tell people that I live to serve.
When did you realize that?
At about 16.
Wow.
Yeah. It just, there is nothing out there that brings me more pleasure than knowing that I've done a good job for my man.
Does she do a good job, Dark Phoenix?
Yes, she does. In fact, when we first met, she came to my guest house or my vacation house out in Palm Springs with another guy. And I ended up tying her to my parents' bed. And then sort of mind-fucked her by, you know, asking a bunch of seemingly irrelevant questions. But one of the most things that came out of that was her interest in serving, and that she doesn't want to disappoint. And as soon as she said, what was it?
You said, what's your biggest fear? And I said, to disappoint.
And then she started breaking out in tears.
Yeah.
Because she thought she disappointed you already.
I did.
But then that relationship becomes a challenge, doesn't it?
Well, the previous question to that was, so you came here with him. You're fucking him. Do you not want to fuck me?
Mm.
She's like, well, I'd love to fuck you. I'm like, well, why don't you fuck me? Come on, what's
going
on here?
You're in my house.
Yeah, so Rachel, submission is an art form. It's a challenge. It's not always a way of life. I guess. What is it for you and for some of your writers?
I mean, I think whether it's a more full-time thing or whether it's a once-in-a-while thing, I mean, I think what I meant by that is that everyone, I mean, like, with art, you know, is going to express that in a different way, and it's going to mean different things to different people, and I think that's something that hopefully comes across in Please Sir, in both Please Sir and Please Ma'am, all the stories are from the submissive's point of view, and I think that's one way to tell a kinky kind of story. And I think if the doms or the tops in those books were telling those stories, they would, you know, the tone of them would be different, and you might be seeing the other side of a relationship or a sexual encounter. And, you know, both of those points of view, I think, are fascinating because I think, you know, the same could be said of domination. But, you know, in terms of submission, what fascinates me, especially in writing, but also in real life, is the psychological elements and kind of the emotional and you just said mindfuck and like that stuff I find fascinating and really hot. I mean, and I find the physical side too, but I think especially when I'm reading stories, you know, if it's all just like, and then I got spanked again and again and again. I mean, I think you have to really, in writing, the psychological element has to really come across, and you have to find out why people are so excited by that, because, you know, and what about that other person is bringing that out in them.
And why are they so excited by that? I mean, I think that it's kind of, I guess, common knowledge, common sense, that anybody would be excited to wield power. We all try to obtain power. But do we try to serve? I think we do, but it's a little more subtle, and it's not as obvious to a lot of people why, you know, a smart, you know, woman who could have whatever she wants to serve a guy or a girl or anybody.
I don't think there's anything more powerful than having the courage to submit.
I agree. There's something more powerful in submission and being able to serve than over being a dom. You know, if you're in a scene together, the sub is the one who gets to go ahead and say start and stop, if it's consensual, and, you know, assumingly it would be.
Right. And that's not topping from the bottom. That's just because if the dom cares about the sub, which he or she right. had better care, mm-hmm. you know, then the sub's limits are what dictates what's going on.
Exactly.
Having the courage to give up control is what makes it powerful, I think.
Now, I have this new client. It's a woman, and she's interesting. She has very, very vivid fantasies of like Nazi doctors, she happens to be Jewish, you know, doing experiments on her with like breast machines and clit machines. And she's a woman of means, you know, she's like in her late 30s, and she has kind of a boy toy boyfriend who's like a personal trainer, really good looking, really buff, big penis, and used to kind of women just loving him for his penis and his buff body, and he does not get her desire to submit at all. And that's why she's calling me, you know, to help them. You know, I don't know if it's something he can learn. He kind of wants to learn it because he loves her and he wants to please her, but he's just not used to wrapping his mind around that mind fuck thing, that you know, you kind of have to do as a dom to satisfy that that hungry sub.
I can totally relate to that.
Oh, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Well, it's...
He is dominant.
Excuse me. Let me talk here. I also work for another company called Dynasty Trade Media, and they mainly work around the idea of rubber and bondage. Type, you know, movies and stuff like that. I don't get rubber at all. I know, and as a director, it's important to know what is interesting to your demographic so that you know what angles and what to shoot and what not to shoot. But I just don't understand the fantasy of rubber, but I can learn. So though while it may not be interesting to me, I can learn how it's interesting to somebody else, and it's that psychology that if someone has the will and interest to learn, and open-minded enough to go forward with it, then why not? Why not be able to help her with her fantasy if you truly care about the
Well, I think if you're into leather, you can get into rubber. If you're into spanking, you could get into a little choking, you know, that this guy has to go, you know, kind of 180 degrees over, because I think he's just used to kind of laying back and letting the women almost, you know, just use his dick for pleasure, you know. And he's not used to being the one that has to come up with scenarios and restrain the woman and all that. But so, anyway, go on, Rachel.
I somewhat disagree in that like I think if he want, I mean, he might want to and he might try, but I also think that, at least in my experience, I mean, my personal experience, I don't necessarily think it's just like having that person go through the motions per se. Like, I think if they're only doing it to please the other person and there's not some part of them that's also like intrigued by that fantasy, I think that comes across.
It certainly does, and that's why
that scenario. I don't think that's going to be for everyone.
That's why this woman is like at her wit's end, she says. So I suggested, since he's so agreeable, that they, you know, get a dom for the two of them. And he's open to having a threesome of some sort, you know, either with a man or a woman. And they could try either one or both, you know, a woman or a man, to come in and dominate both of them. And then maybe he'll either go along with her or and be submissive, or he'll kind of watch and get the hang of it. Either one. So that's what they're going to try, because they somehow want to be together, you know,
right.
And yet there's this incompatibility. Anyway, Rachel, how about, can you tell us a little bit about your personal life or your personal feelings that that motivated you to write the story that you're going to do a reading from Sir.
Well, actually, I have to update that plan because I'm sort of working off my phone here. So I think I might read a story from Please, Ma'am.
Oh.
if that's okay.
It's
about
okay.
House Boy. But I will say, and you can watch a video of me reading the story I was going to read, called Your Hand on My Neck.
Oh, it's fabulous. It's very visceral. I might have to read a little
bit.
You know what?
I don't have that in front of me. But that, and that, you know, I tend to write two kinds of stories. One is kind of somewhat humorous, mm-hmm. a little bit, which is probably the one I'm going to read. And some are just very raw and very kind of, there it is. And I think that Your Hand on My Neck, it is kind of one of those very raw.
That's a raw one, yes.
Intense. You know, there's no, like, cutesy, haha moments. It's just, and it's interesting because I run a reading series in New York called In the Flesh, and every month I'm reading my own work, and it's a very challenging experience because, you know, you're reading something you wrote, but live in front of people, and often, you know, surrounded by people reading sort of funny stories or sort of, you know, maybe like a worst sex moment, and sometimes people are reading erotica, but I think when you're reading something, and that story is, I would say it's like 90% true. I mean, a lot of the stories that are, I would say they're mostly true. Maybe I, you know, tweak a few things, but, you know, it's about choking and my enjoyment of that. And it can be challenging to, it's not challenging at all to write those kinds of things. Like, to me, writing is sort of just very pure state of communication. I feel totally comfortable.
Well, this is a very pure piece, this particular piece, and since we're talking about it, if you don't mind, I'll just read that first paragraph.
Yeah, I actually feel you take it.
You know, but I haven't practiced this, folks. I feel that need to serve Sasha and service. Ooh. Rachel's
please do.
Poetry well, and I don't know if I'm also going to try to dominate the words here, so let's see.
Oh.
Okay, now this is a submissive woman speaking. Okay. Your hand on my neck is all it takes to make tears race to my eyes, to put my body on red alert, to let me know that I'm about to go insane. It's that simple. Yet, of course, your fingers going for the jugular will always be more complex than I can ever truly describe. It's the fastest way to get my attention, to snap me out of whatever place my mind has wandered, back to where it should be, on you. Forget about when you raise your hand to spank me, or reach for my nipples to pinch them, or even when you grab my arm to shackle my wrist to your bedposts, all of which you know I adore. Your hand on my neck is what makes me unbearably, almost impossibly, wet. Is it because you were my first? Is it because I trust you more? Or is it because those tears that rush forth, the gasps that claw their way to the surface, the panic that bubbles just below the surface, speak to me in a language deeper than words ever could? Sometimes because you know me so well, because you know what it does to me, you do it while we're sitting across from each other at a restaurant. To an outsider, it probably looks like a light caress, like your hand could just as easily be stroking my arm, your thumb caressing my inner wrist, or smoothing my hair, or tracing my lips. And you could be doing any of those things, but you're not. You're wrapping yourself from thumb to forefinger around the expanse of my neck, pressing just enough to make my lips go slack, my breath get short. You're telling me so much without saying a word, and my first instinct is to do what I do in bed. Bend my neck, my head back, elongate my neck, shut my eyes, give more of myself to you. Anyway, that's the beginning. Hot
stuff.
Are you
trying to get me to have sex right now?
I'm in tears and I'm wet. I don't know what to do.
Aww. Yeah, it's beautiful stuff. Now you got to read the whole thing.
Thank you for reading that.
Well, my pleasure. It got me wet and got my throat kept catching. Gosh, couldn't start bawling or I wouldn't be able to read. I wouldn't be able to see. But it's very, very intense and beautiful. And honestly, the hand on my neck thing actually scares me personally. I'm not into that. But I love the story. I love the way you write it, and it makes me very hot. You know, mm-hmm. It just goes to show you don't have to be into the particular thing to be turned on by it. That's the power of erotica.
Thank you. It's something, you know, it's interesting. I had never been into that before, and I don't know, maybe a year ago or so, I started doing that with two different people, and you know, that inspired that story.
Two different people. At the same time?
Well, not at the same time. I think it's something very intense. And again, sort of like what we were talking about before with your client. I mean, I don't think that's something that everyone is going to want to do to someone else. And you know, I can say for myself, it's not something that I would want to do with necessarily everyone, I'm seeing, because I think it really just depends on the chemistry between me and my lovers, and also, you know, what they want to bring to it. If I feel like they're not into it and I'm sort of topping from below, for lack of a better phrase, that to me is not going to be as hot as someone who wants to do it for their own reasons.
And we're not just talking about heat here. This is a public service announcement, actually a public cervix announcement. But we are also talking about safety. And, you know, you want to do it with someone who knows what they're doing. You don't want to do it with someone who's, like, drunk and just wants to choke you because they, you know, they saw that in a porn movie.
Yeah, and I think it's, you know. I mean, it's trust on several levels. And, you know, the safety element as well as the emotional component. And I think, you know, sometimes, in my experience, you know, things get so heated that, you know, you kind of lose your, you know, you have to really trust that person to almost know what you're thinking, which is, you know, that's complicated because, you know, how are they supposed to know what you're thinking? But I mean, that's like not something, you know, and I don't know why. You know, I'm 34, so that was like, I was 33. You know, I had never done that before. I don't know if I will again.
You're not with that guy anymore? Or girl?
No. And actually, I was with someone for a little while, and we were doing some of that stuff, you know, choking and slapping, and I think it was very new for him, kind of like your client, and I think it kind of freaked him out a little bit because he didn't really know, or he just had never done that before. And you know, I think that's very valid.
So I want to get Dark Phoenix's and Sasha's reaction to the piece and the whole choking fetish.
Well, asphyxiation is up there in my top three. Exhibitionism, asphyxiation, and feet. Mm. And so there's nothing... I love to go out, you know, and I go out very easy. Mm. And so 10-15
losing consciousness.
Yeah, 10-15 seconds, I'm out.
You're out.
I'm out.
Unconscious.
Unconscious. And within about 10-15 seconds after that, I come back. And I don't know if it's the going out or the coming back and being, you know, while we're fucking and he chokes me out and I go out and then I... wake back up and I'm getting fucked and I just, it's this whole, just this major, like, there's one thing to submit to someone and let them beat you and let them tell you, you know, that you need to do the dishes and that kind of thing, but there's another thing to let somebody make you lose consciousness. Hmm. I mean, you kill brain cells when you do that.
Yes, yes.
And that, to me, is giving my all. Almost to a point where I can say, take my life.
Exactly.
I guess
so. You know,
so.
And so it's a huge... I mean, I've gone so far as to wanting to be choked, but the person was scared to choke me, and so they just pressed on my chest and ended up breaking three ribs.
You have a lot of responsibility here, Darcy.
Absolutely. And most doms do. I mean, I'm glad you noted that because, you know, as a submissive, it is your sort of role to go ahead and give complete submission or complete trust and control to your dom. So as a dom, it is you're given a lot of responsibility. And it is, you know, hopefully their interest to fully trust you to go ahead and wield that responsibility into something that both of you enjoy at that time. Yeah.
So did you take lessons in how to do this?
Yes and no. I did not. I never personally sub, which, you know, according to a lot of people in the industry, is called Leather Guarding. You become a sub first, and then you work yourself out to being a switch, and then from there onto a dom. But me, I could never go ahead and do a full submission. But with a little bit of natural talent and a little bit of education from other people, within the last, you know, 5-6 years, I spent 3 years just watching, going to clubs, going to play parties, going to people's houses and learning how to throw a flogger, what parts of the body to hit, what parts of the body not to hit, the psychology behind mind fucking, the psychology behind what is going through the sub's mind, what is subspace, what is dom space.
And he is the ultimate mind fucker.
He's the ultimate mind fucker. What do you mean by that?
He is so sweet and kind and simple and gentle, but when he turns it on, you, I mean, I've been, there was one instance, it was New Year's, and we hadn't played in a while. I perform and I do movies, so I have to be very careful about when I play because I like to get marked. I'm a pain slut, and I take a very high amount of pain. And so we don't get to play as much as we'd like to. But this was an instance where I wanted to play. And he stood against a railing and ignored me for 45 minutes to to the point where I was in tears and I was angry. And I was like, how dare you ignore me? I finally am able to give you what we love to do and you ignore me? And then this goes on and on and on.
You didn't know that was part of his
game? I had no idea.
Well, the thing
that's the thing. You never know with him because he is so skilled at the mind fuck. And I always tell people, I hate that. I don't like that.
Well, you know, if
but
you're an exhibitionist, I'm not going to mind fuck you. I'm just going to tell you that if you're an exhibitionist, please don't hesitate to take your top off.
Oh, absolutely.
You know,
see to it by the end of the night this happens.
I do love to take my tits out, so.
Yeah, take them out, girl. You got nice ones. All right. So Rachel.
Yes.
Well, while they negotiate Sasha's top, should we switch for a moment? Did you want to introduce the piece from Please, Ma'am?
Sure. This is a piece, and this is one of those instances where it's inspired by my life in that I'm a huge slob at home.
Writers always are.
I'm pretty messy. And, you know, sometimes, like, I blog about that, and people write to me, and they're like, I want to be your houseboy. And that is something that, in real life, I don't want to, like, complicate those two things. Like, I would pay, like, a real cleaning person, but I would not, like, accept someone's free naked services, just because then I would feel obligated, you know, to, like, you know, be topping them while they're cleaning my house or whatever.
Well, what if you really liked them?
It's funny because, like, I would feel too guilty. Like, my real...
natural top, I guess.
My brain would not...
I would have no problem with that. Clean my house.
Clean my laundry.
I can be a top, but I can't, like, it just triggers so many, you know, other issues for me that I just couldn't do it. But I know that's, like, a popular thing, and I also thought this will be good for me to try to write a story about someone, like, coming to clean my house or someone like me's house. So I did write a story called House Boy, and it's from the point of view of a guy who is going to clean this woman's house.
All right.
So that this is, it's a little, it's going to be a little different now. than the one you read.
Right.
So, do you want me to read part of it?
Yeah, go right ahead.
I'm not going to lie. I love fucking beautiful, dominant women, but I love even more when I can help them improve their lives. A good fuck they'll remember for a few days, maybe, but helping them get organized, doing something for them most people have to pay someone else to do, And doing it with a smile on my face and a heart on, that's something else entirely. Dear Mistress Raven, I'm writing because I can provide a unique service to you at no cost. I want to help you become the best woman you can be. Well, you are already the most beautiful goddess I have ever seen, but I am ready and able to be your houseboy, available at any time of day or night to scrub your floors, wash your dishes, clean and fold your laundry, scour your bathroom, dust and vacuum, anything you ask. I can do this naked or clothed, and you can be present or absent. It would be the highest honor for me to serve you in this way, and I can guarantee that you will not be disappointed. I do not in any way mean to imply that you are not a perfect woman. My only aim is to further you in your goals of taking over the world. Sincerely, Slave Stephen. I didn't want to brag about my previous success, so simply attached my cleaning resume. I sent the letter, then immediately saw 5 different ways I could have improved upon it. But instead of focusing on those, I did what my creative visualization book had instructed me to, and simply thought about getting into the thick of Mistress Raven's mess. My fingers itched, as did my cock, but I resisted stroking it. That would only be my reward if my mistress granted me my deepest wish. To prepare, I began scrubbing my sink, then went about polishing my already glistening bathroom tiles. With a cock ring in place around the base of my penis to remind me that I was allowed to look at it, but not touch. I was sure that would be the rule if she granted me the honor of cleaning her house. It had always been a struggle for me to so much as make my bed without popping a hard on. After an hour, everything in my home was sparkling clean, so I went back online and was thrilled to have a message from Mistress Raven, who insisted I call her immediately. Trembling, I picked up my cell phone and dialed her number. Slave Stephen, she asked immediately. Yes, mistress, I said, hoping I sounded confident and assured. Your message came at a most opportune time. I'm being photographed for an international S&M magazine, and they're insisting on doing the shoot in my apartment. Can you get here tonight? It was already 10, and I'd been planning to jerk off to some of my favorite videos, then call it a night. But for her, I'd gladly get dressed and stay up all night if that was what it took. Anyway, I was happy for an excuse to ditch work tomorrow. Yes, just give me 20 minutes. What exactly do you require? I will need you to turn my home into one that can be shown publicly. The photographer is coming at 8 a.m. and may want to take some photos of you too, so please make sure you look your best. I have some underwear you can put on for the shoot. And please keep in mind, this is an unpaid gig and I will expect you to be 100% professional. If you're not, I won't hesitate to immediately kick you out, even in the middle of the night. Her voice was brisk and officious, which only made my dick harder. So that's a little teaser of the story.
Yes.
And what's interesting, I sort of didn't realize until I was reading, but I guess the other way that my personal life fits into that is that I sort of have I'm a slob at home, but I sort of have this cleaning fetish. So I like cleaning other people's homes. I mean, it's sort of a sexual fetish, but it's sort of, I enjoy it. And I do have a sort of a dishwashing thing. So I think if I were ever going to do something like that in real life, I would definitely be the one cleaning.
Come on over.
Come over here, yeah.
Anytime. We got
the one thing I won't do is clean dishes, so she can come to my house right now.
I love washing dishes. I find it really soothing.
You fit right into the
spooky. You stole my heart.
I will do anything around my house for my man.
Not but dishes.
I will not do dishes. And we actually had a
basic mode of service. We all use dishes.
I hate it. I usually have a full set of weekly Dawn acrylics. And so I will not put my fingers in water. And we recently had a young woman, a friend of ours, move in. And I said, look, you don't have to pay rent. You don't have to do anything. All you got to do is do the dishes.
Wow.
And that's it.
Okay.
Because I will not do them.
any sub has a limit somewhere. You know, they think they might say, I don't have limits. But they have a limit. Your limit is dishes.
That's right.
Right?
I'll clean windows. I'll pick up dog poop. I don't care.
Really?
But
dog
I will
poop
not
with the
do the dishes.
Wow. But not dishwashing.
I hate it.
I actually wrote an erotica story a while ago called Doing the Dishes. And people remember it. People are really fascinated by it. And I've met other people who sort of have a thing about doing dishes. But I think it's sort of one of those love-hate, like a lot of people hate doing the dishes and some people gravitate toward it.
Well, it's certainly one of those things that a lot of women who think, well, if I dominated a guy, I don't know what I would want to do with him. You know, there's some women who just don't know how to dominate, don't have it in them, but they could relate to that. They could relate to, yes, if he can do my dishes, that would be something for me.
If I may ask a question, what is it that, do you get physically turned on from washing dishes,
or is it the service act of it? The story, it depends. I mean, not in general. I say it's a fetish, but I mean like a just sort of a thing that I like to do.
Okay.
But if it's someone that I'm involved with, like if I'm dating someone, and I'm at their house and I do their dishes, like I find that really hot because, you know, it's like they ate off those dishes and it's very intimate, I think.
They ate off those dishes in someone's
kitchen. I think it's their personal space. Like I do think that in that situation.
No, I can definitely see why it's hot. I just have such an aversion. Like I like to fold laundry. That's my favorite thing.
I still don't get it.
And I didn't know this show would be about housekeeping. Let's go back to spanking.
It's not that, yeah.
Wait a minute. I have to tell a little story. Susan loves to do dishes.
I do. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, she does.
Oh, yeah. Oh, so, my favorite thing. Yeah.
Come on over.
When
not.
When I first moved into her nice little apartment in West Hollywood.
A condo.
I noticed that there were the dishes kept piling up. So I said, well, Susan, the maid's not coming to, Friday. Should I, like, do the dishes? And she said, oh, no. Don't, Max. I'll do the dishes. I said, really? Oh, okay. Well, okay. So I went about my business. And about 2-3 minutes later, she came out. And she says, the dishes are all done. So I said, you did all the dishes? Like there was a pile that was coming out. She said, no, they're all done. I'm going to go back to the computer. So I go into the kitchen, and all the dishes are covered with a towel and sprayed with perfume.
I've done the
very
same
good
thing.
Perfume.
Oh, my God,
very
I've done
good.
This okay. exact same thing. And I've thrown away dishes instead of washing them.
Can she tell the story?
Put them in the fridge.
Well, you know, dishes are a very important aspect of life, and how we choose to deal with them dictates, you know, our position.
Again, I mean, perplexed by the whole thing because recently, actually, we had a porn star come into the studio and we shot with her, and we went ahead and totally annihilated this girl with, you know, whips and forced orgasms to the point of insanity. And we knew we were doing a good job when in between sets and in between takes, she would go to our bathrooms and on her hands and knees naked be scrubbing the floor.
Wow.
She says it was like a whole Zen thing for her and that she got off and it was to help kind of keep her balanced between the domination and the submission. You know, she constantly, and she works with kink a lot and she works with us a lot.
Sometimes you have to stay in your subspace to continue, you know, because it's usually about 4 scenes a day that are shot, and you always get a break in the middle to have something to drink and have a cigarette, but some people need to stay in their subspace to continue on for a full 5-6 hour shoot.
And if it takes scrubbing
sense,
the floor,
you'll do it.
It was hot. She was doing it naked, bent over on her hands and knees, literally scrubbing it.
I hope somebody was filming that.
We got pictures. I don't know if we got film on that, but I can tell you it was really hot because this girl would do it naked, and keep in mind we've got 3 bathrooms between 5 men and that's it, so like you
yucky.
Could only imagine what it might look like before she came around.
Mm-hmm.
And but still I was flabbergasted. My mom and I've seen a lot. I work in porn, you know. I shoot 4 times a week,
and you have a collared submissive.
And there's very
little
I haven't
seen. Do you guys
live
together?
Yes.
You do. And you live the whole dominant submissive lifestyle.
We do when I'm not being a little bitch.
if there's amount of symbolism, it's usually I'll put the collar on her, then she's my slave. If it's not on her...
There's no collar on her.
Currently, because at the current state, I try to bring things back to... inequality. We're living in, you know, this generation, and I believe that even though I appreciate a
submissive nature,
but even more a traditional lifestyle, like, you know, the wife's jobs are to clean the house and take care of the kids and have food on the table, while the man's job is to go out, make the money, and whatever, the 1920s kind of, you know, lifestyle. But at the same time, because we're living in today's generation, that, you know, she has a job, I have a job, we both work, and I try to maintain a balance between that 1920s and a equality lifestyle.
A realistic situation.
Right, so
I am naturally submissive. And so there is always a aspect of submissiveness in our life. Maybe I need a drink, or, you know, I need to do the laundry, that kind of thing. And so there's levels. There's the when we're totally equal, and then there's the lifestyle that we believe in, and then there's the put on your collar and be my sub type of thing. So it's in our everyday life, but, you know, sometimes I talk back and get smacked in the face.
So wait, I have a question. So when you say naturally submissive, like, do you mean with other people too, like in other kinds of...
Absolutely. I mean, with anyone. I like I said, from a very early age, you know, I didn't start playing or really realizing my situation until I was about 16. But even as a young girl, the thought, the general idea of living to serve when someone needs something, I feel compelled to be the one that gives them that. And when someone, you know, from anything from can you get me a soda to can you help me change my life, I just feel compelled to help and submit and to be there for people. And I find dominance in myself unnatural and minimal. And, you know, the only dominant thing about me would be, you know, just the fact that I have confidence and self-esteem, which is rare in women my age. And beyond that, I am completely and naturally submissive.
Now, do you think that being submissive helps with your confidence and self-esteem?
It does. I believe that, like I said earlier, being able to have enough control of yourself and enough self-esteem to give up control shows you the kind of power that you have. Because if you don't love yourself and care about yourself and feel that you're a confident, young, independent woman, you'll never submit. Because you have to cling so much to that I'm in control type of situation. And I know lots of girls around my age that are like, oh, I'm a dom and blah, blah, blah. But that's just because they're scared inside. You know, and I'm not saying everyone, because everybody's different. I'm just talking about my personal experience with the young women in my life, that I know so many young female doms, and in their hearts they want to be taken care of and they want to, you know, be submissive and sweet, but they're so scared that someone's going to hurt them that they come off as doms. Well, and it's disingenuous to me.
I also think you know, finding a person who can give you that back, you know, that who you can trust, is a lot of that.
It is. It really is.
I think in the wrong hands, that could backfire.
Oh, horribly, horribly wrong. And it has in my life. You know, I come to people and I tell them how I am, and I want them to be a certain way, and sometimes it just goes terribly, terribly wrong. And it's a very dangerous situation, because not only is your acting, but your whole soul and your heart goes into it, and then you realize that they have no idea what they're doing or what they want or that sort of thing. So you really have to find someone. And, you know, I was lucky enough to find someone who was, as a person, not submissive, but just very, what's the word I want to say? Just
nice.
General. Just a nice man.
Yeah.
But when,
you know,
he turns it on,
yeah,
he knows what he's doing.
A mind fuck. And one of the things that you bring up in your books, I think it's in Please Ma'am, but it could just as well be in Please Sir, in the introduction, is the whole idea of risk-taking. That, you know, sex is always a risk.
Yes,
obviously,
it is.
It's risky business. I mean, we're very pro-sex around here, and we're, you know, very into sexual exploration and education, but there's no doubt that it's risky. I mean, so is driving on the freeway.
Emotionally and physically.
But sex is risky too. And this kind of sex is maybe a little riskier. Maybe it ups the ante physically as well as psychologically. And Rachel, you say the psychological risks, of course, are the ones that you explore here in the books. I mean, they tend to be the more interesting ones to explore in erotica, although they kind of go with the physical risk.
I think they do, and I think, you know, in many ways, I think the bigger risk you take, like, the greater reward you can gain, but that really is a tricky thing because, you know, you never know what someone might do with that, and I think sometimes, you know, without necessarily having, without bad intentions per se, I mean, I think that relationship can get hairy, for lack of a better word. I mean, and I don't want to go into a long personal story, but I think that,
I want to hear more about your life.
Where, you know, I've trusted someone to the point that it was somewhat detrimental to me. Mm. Not that they necessarily took advantage of that, but that my being so wanting to please them, you know, led to not great decisions on my part.
Sometimes you wake up and you realize you've lost yourself.
And I think that, you know, I can't blame the other person for that, but I think that if you are the sub in a DS relationship and you want to do anything to please that person, and they're not making sort of the best decisions for both of you, that can just be a tough situation. And from the other side, I've been in situations where I've been dominant, and I think, I mean, those kind of bring me back to the amount of trust that, you know, the sub is, like, placing in you. Like, I did a scene with someone that I, you know, I didn't really plan the whole thing out, but I was like, you know, leave your apartment door unlocked, and I'm going to come in. But I meant that, like, I was going to ring the doorbell to the front door of the apartment, but they left both doors open. And, you know, I realized that, you know, like, theoretically, anyone could have come into mm-hmm. their apartment from the street. I mean, the door was not wide open. It was just, like, the lock was open. But, you know, and I think that they, like, he got off on that, too. The idea that, you know, in theory, some random person could come in and, like, see him, like, you know, naked. Like,
but the fact that he trusted you so much, too.
Might have been overwhelming.
But it was an interesting thing. And for a second, you know, it freaked me out because I was like, oh, I didn't. You know, wow. There were parts mm-hmm. of that I didn't plan, and it all was fine, but yeah. It was an interesting moment
was this
where
in New
I
York?
Was like, how much, you know, trust that they had placed in me.
Mm. Well, you know, these things can happen in a vanilla relationship, you know, this sort of paranoia, I guess, and also, on the other hand, the breaking of trust. It's just that these BDSM relationships seem to up the ante a little bit, you know, because maybe you guys are all bored, I guess, you know.
Well, what's the difference between BDSM and a vanilla relationship? I mean, my parents, vanilla, you know, by any means of the definition, and yet I see a
submissive,
dominant type lifestyle within every couple I meet. You can find dominant and submission on any level, or on some level, within any working relationship couple.
I mean, it's almost like
it's just a
BDSM,
matter of where you take it.
People who identify as BDSM people just dramatize it more. Just,
right, they're more dramatic. They go ahead and do
theatricalize
this.
It. They use these implements. I mean, sex itself involves some pain along with pleasure, you know. And
isn't that, though, basically how the whole world operates, especially corporate America, where you come into work and there's people that are dominant and you're submissive.
Oh, that's so true.
Or otherwise, you're out of a fucking job, okay?
Right.
You got it?
You have to know when to dominate
boss
and when to submit.
Is a perfect example of that.
Yeah, right?
I mean,
yeah.
I have to... I
find those relationships very S&M and, you know, just to keep the whole machinery of corporate America running, you need that.
And we're very close to that, especially in my work, because not only are we involved in the scene, but we work within the porn industry. So my boss goes ahead and takes that hierarchy position to a different level, to the point where it's like Stop trying to dom the conversation and let me go ahead and take control of this. You got to learn to submit. I'm not a submissive, but here here I am put in a perplexed situation of having to submit, to listen to him, to know, to trust that
checks.
He knows what he's telling me to do.
Right. Yeah.
But and really, if you look at that, then where's the dominance? You know, I'm the one getting paid. And he's having me do services for him, but in the end, I'm taking his money.
Well, so, it all depends on how you look at it.
It's really very much perspective, absolutely.
Very much is.
And in your books,
you have a few different stories that take place in the workplace, Rachel. You know, there's the workplace is just a fertile ground for this dominant and submissive sexual stuff. And, of course, it's very politically incorrect and sexual harassment, but these are stories and everything has
but
a happy
also,
ending.
And I think that for a lot of people or some people, their public or workplace persona or role is actually different than their private sexual role. Like they might be, you know, the corporate CEO and have to boss people around all day, and then at night they want to submit to someone, or vice versa. Or maybe they fantasize about that. Like if the person's low on the totem pole at work, and like everyone's bossing them around, and they're like, "Wouldn't it be awesome if I could, you know?" And I think it's different. Some people, you know, there's more similarity between the way they are in the world and the way they are in private. But I think that also brings up the idea of, you know, for most people, probably their colleagues or their neighbors or whoever don't necessarily know about like what their sex life is like or what you know role or not that they have in the bedroom. So, and I think that I've found, you know, sometimes people, because I've written about, you know, say the fact that I like spanking and I like to be spanked or whatever, that they think, oh, they're going to, you know, that I want to do that with them. And there's this sort of preconceived idea that, you know, this is how it's going to be. And for me, it depends on who the person is and what the dynamic is between them. Like,
now, speaking of dynamics, I just need to mention that Dark Phoenix has been enjoying our agua coca leaf liqueur, which
that is lovely stuff.
One of our favorite liqueurs, and agua coca leaf liqueur involves a ritual whereby you put some lime salt on human skin. I mean, you know, if you're conservative, I guess you can put it on a hand or a shoulder or something.
But he's been
putting it on boobs and pussies over here. Well, one pussy in particular, and that would be Sasha's.
He might be next.
Careful.
Hot
He's
stuff.
Wild, man.
Well, that lime salt gets you going.
Tell me.
You know, yeah.
Now I'm like, oh, I
now you really wish you were here.
Yeah, don't you, Rachel? You got to come here one day. One Saturday night.
Okay,
you know.
I will. And then I want that, what you just said, drink.
That drink.
The agua
coca leaf liqueur, mademoiselle.
If I may have another, please.
Yes, absolutely. I live to serve you agua coca leaf liqueur.
Absolutely. Thank you so much.
Sir, DP. It's great to have those initials.
I know, right?
It means director of photography. To me,
right.
It means double penetration.
Look at
or donkey punch.
Of a woman. The
this is a very interesting glass. It's very hourglass.
Yes.
It's the shape of your woman right there.
Mm-hmm, right.
Big old titties, big old ass.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But just back to the office for a second. I mean, we often think of the dominant submissive outfit as the, you know, the kind of the collar and the chains and the leather. But really, I think a very popular dominant submission outfit now is the business suit. At least that's what I'm hearing.
Dark Phoenix loves
it. Oh, and look, Dark Phoenix is wearing it.
I know. I got the red tie. I got the chain.
He loves it.
You ever seen a TV show called Mad Men, based on the 1920s advertising industry?
Definite hierarchy there.
Absolutely, and it's so interesting to watch. Even if it's, you know, like the guys are assholes to the girls, at least from our perspective in today's age, the relationship and to recreate that sort of storyline is just so gets me off. That's my thing. If you like doing dishes, that's great. I like going ahead and acting like I'm in the workplace, being your top. I have control issues.
And I think that's eroticized on the show, the sort of, like, yeah. In some cases where the women, you know, are turned on, but, like, I think it's the suit, but then what it represents, like, the power behind that.
Yes, definitely.
Oh, yes, yes.
We love that. Because we spend so much of our time there, and we really have to deal with it on a real visceral level, as you do. You have to either accept the dominance of your boss, or perhaps you're in a position where you're a supervisor and you don't really like to be, but you have to accept that you have to dominate people. So then maybe you want the reverse in your private life.
There's an interesting perspective, and I've seen that portrayed a lot, and I'm a big entertainment buff. I watch CSI and different types of pop culture television shows, and it's just interesting to watch the infusion of dominant submission within, our scene into current entertainment. Mm-hmm. You see a lot more often these days, and it's very interesting. I love it.
Mm. So, Rachel, I could just talk with you forever, but we do have some other callers on the line, and I don't think we're ready to do a three-way call right now.
Okay.
Three-way sex, yes, but three-way calls, not quite.
The lines have been lit up.
I know. They all want to talk about this.
Let's get some.
We'll be talking about this, but we're going to let you go back to being shackled to whatever you're shackled in Austin there.
And by the way, this will be up within
a couple hours. It'll be up in a couple hours.
Yeah, you'll be able to listen to it.
Then we'll have a picture and some description in a couple days. You've been a fantastic guest.
Wonderful.
Thank you.
Wonderful.
And it's been a lot of fun.
And I just want to say that your books are fantastic, right?
So there's some plugs here.
We have plugs.
Yeah,
we have, and we're not talking about in your head.
Not butt plugs.
Yeah,
not
butt plugs. These are promotions. So let's let you plug everything now. Go for it.
You can go to my home base, rachelkramerbuffel.com. We also have a really hot book video for Please Sir, where there's spanking and slapping and all sorts of sex toys. You go to pleasesirbook.wordpress.com/about, and you can watch it as many times as you want. I had a lot of fun shooting that video, and maybe the next one we'll do, like, in, you know, we have to keep them a little PG for YouTube, but I'm thinking maybe we'll do an X-rated version for the next one.
Well, good luck to you.
Thank you.
Keep Dark Phoenix in mind. Yeah,
you can ask a question.
Yeah.
Sure.
Rachel. Out of obviously, I've seen you're an author of many of these books.
She's the editor, and she always writes a story in each one.
Oh, cool.
Yeah.
What's your favorite?
Children. I don't know if you can have a favorite. Can you?
I don't know. Please Sir, I like a lot, and the spanking Spanked and Bottoms Up, I really enjoy, because I think there's like the playful, fun side of spanking and the sort of dark, crying, begging side of spanking and kind of everything in between. So
yeah.
I have three favorites.
Spanking is fun.
Thank you so much. And
you're
thank
quite
you
welcome.
For reading.
Okay, well, thank you, and we'll see you on Twitter, and
we'll see you here soon.
And
right?
here and yes. here at the Speakeasy, you're going to come visit us in L.A.
Yes.
You travel
I'll be
so
sure
much.
To visit.
Come over to L.A.
I promise.
Okay,
thank
and
you.
We'll
okay.
have Dark Phoenix and Sasha back to visit with you.
Okay,
take care.
And
nice
now.
Okay, she was great.
Yeah, she was great. Yes.
Man,
I told you she would be great.
Yeah, she was good.
I do love giving spankings, and if I were to take any submissive role, maybe it's because of my childhood and my parents, were totally cool with spanking me as a kid. If I can take any pain, I can't take any pain. But if I could, it would be through the buttocks.
Right. Me
too. Spanking's totally cool. I love spanking. If she loves spanking, we can have a whole show here just on that.
It's everybody loves spanking. It's true. And, Stan Kent almost came here tonight. He wrote a story in Bottoms Up.
Oh, cool.
And it involved like a spanking party with everybody kind of spanking each other, and it is one of those things that goes beyond dominance and submission in a way, just having your butt whacked.
It's just lovely.
Right.
Here's Christina
Dr. Susie, hello.
You look beautiful tonight.
Well, thank you.
She is gorgeous.
I didn't know what I was going to wear for you.
Yeah. Do you remember Dark Phoenix and Sasha from the Bondage Gal?
Yes.
Yeah, the Bondage Launch. Broken Door. Yeah. And let's see. We do have some callers on the line.
I don't know who we have left, but we can take a shot.
Okay.
Okay, you want to do that?
Just take a shot. I don't know. We've got...
Empty Oz was calling. I don't know if he's still...
Empty Oz, yeah.
As long as we don't take a shot in the eye.
I'm not sure where Empty Oz is.
Come on.
What line
we're
is
all
on.
Willing.
I don't know.
line four? Line four?
Line four? Should I go to line four?
I guess so, yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, let's try it. Okay.
Okay.
All right, he called
back. He's not on the line, but let's go to these two people.
Okay,
I don't know who they are or what they're about.
Chandler has a foot fetish, and so does Sasha.
Oh, there we go.
Okay.
Hello.
Hi.
How are you?
Well, good. Is this Chandler?
Yeah.
Chandler, you're going to have to speak up, darling.
Yeah.
So you have a foot fetish, is that right?
Yes.
For ladies' feet?
Of course.
Of course. Beautiful, pretty ladies' feet. And are you submissive? Or, you don't have to be to have a foot fetish. You could be into, like, tickling them or tying them up. But what do you like to do with feet?
Everything.
Everything. That doesn't tell me very much, Chandler. Nobody likes to do everything, as we discovered with Sasha, who says she was like the quintessential submissive, but she doesn't like to do dishes. So what do you really like about feet?
Is there a difference with a shoe fetish and a
there
foot
is a
fetish?
Difference. Do you like shoes or do you like feet?
I think
feet, not shoes.
Okay, what about feet? What do you like to do with them?
I want to talk to them, just the lady.
Just a lady.
Oh, see.
Guess what? My name is Grace.
Oh, no. Uh-oh.
And I'm a lady.
Uh-oh, he's gone to school
I just
now.
Have a deep voice.
Yeah.
I have a friend like that.
How do you know, really? It could just be a woman who's past menopause or something.
My name's Vivian Hammer.
With a beard.
Samantha
from the City.
You know what, Chandler? You are calling a radio program, yeah. So you know you can't boss us around.
You don't get to
around.
Choose, especially since I'm the fucking director.
Yeah,
right?
We have staff.
He's the engineer. He can cut you off. You know, he has a dominant position.
Not,
okay, you're welcome. Okay, so now, Chandler, what? I mean, I'm a lady, and Sasha is a lady, and Christina is a lady.
Yes, I am.
So, you have 3 out of 5. Ladies here.
Oh, you guys, shut up.
Now, tell us something interesting about your foot fetish, for God's sake, and for goddess's sake.
Foot jobs.
Oh, foot jobs.
I've done that professionally.
Oh, you know, I don't know how submissive
can I get
that
your
is.
Number?
Yeah. Can he get your number?
No.
Well, I don't know. I mean, no, you don't do, but you do it professionally.
I do. I actually have a foot jobs video out by Pink Visual.
Oh, a video. But you don't go around giving foot jobs.
If I'm asked to.
You do.
Mm-hmm.
If you're asked to.
Yes.
So, you know, you don't know what Chandler looks like or what
I don't care.
Really?
No.
You don't care what he looks like?
No.
Chandler, you're in luck.
How do you give a foot job?
You take your little feet.
Or big feet, as the case may be.
Well, I wear a 5.5. So
a 5.5? That is very tiny.
Very
can we
little.
See your foot? Can
well,
you
they're in boots right now, but they're still little.
Okay, well, you know. Oh, well, those are little feet. But, I mean, can you take off a boot?
Yeah,
let's take off.
Oh, they're still dirty from last night,
well,
though.
Oh, she was walking around
I like
asphalt.
To walk around
sweaty.
Barefoot.
They're
no, they're dirty.
They're dirty.
They're black from
what
asphalt.
What do you think about that, Chandler? Are you into dirty feet or just the pretty manicured, pedicured kind?
Not too
dirty. Not
I like them dirty.
Oh, wow.
Dirty.
Dirty.
I
saw you
too.
Have a foot fetish. In you were licking his boot.
Yes.
At the last.
I have a foot and
bondage
a boot
event.
Fetish.
You were licking it with such relish. I couldn't believe
it
that.
It gets her more wet when she's done.
Mm.
You know,
yeah.
It gets us ready for the bedroom.
Wow. If a man presents his boot to me, it turns me inside out.
Wow. He's presenting. He's presenting the boot. Look at this. Yeah, I think people should get into what they're into, and I don't know if you're so into taking your shoe off. So I'm going to let you just get into licking his boot. because that is extraordinary. Chandler, I'm sorry, but, you know, this is just so extraordinary. And he has been walking around on the speakeasy floor, which is clean, by the way.
He just went to the restroom.
Not all that clean.
I mean, her tongue is now actually black.
Oh, my God.
Show your tongue.
Ah! It is black. Oh, my God. Now, wait a second. That's not too hygienic, or do you have a way
Absolutely
of dealing
not.
With that?
Well, we all have antibodies in our system, and she drinks waters and anything that...
Listerine every day and brush my teeth like a normal person, but there's something to me...
But you're swallowing the dirt.
If you see a perfectly manicured little female foot, there's just something so damn vanilla about that to me. But... I remember the first time that I went after a dirty foot, there was a girl on stage performing, just singing at a cover band, and she was just this little, the kind of girl that's trashy and beautiful at the same time, and she had been dancing and singing up on stage, and at the end of the night, she got off stage, and we went backstage, and we were all hanging out, and she put her feet up on the table, and I noticed that they were black. They were black, which is walking around and in spilled drinks and cigarette butts. And I grabbed her foot and I licked it. And afterwards, my nose and my lips and my chin all had a black smudge on them. And I just remember thinking, now that's hardcore. And I'm all about being hardcore.
You are. Why do you think you're all about being hardcore?
It's a
fascination
with pushing the limits, being extreme.
But why you? I mean, you
because
look,
I look
like
this.
Such a
exactly
sweet,
exactly the point, lady.
I'm saying it's the
dichotomy of the fact that when you look at me, you think Midwestern
girl next door
wouldn't even know how to suck a dick. And just thinks that she walks around the house and is cute and knows nothing, but really, within all actuality, I am a filthy, filthy whore.
The jaw-dropping idea of her doing Bukkakis and Gokuns.
Yeah.
It's just, that brings in money and crowd.
Bukkakis.
Bukkakis.
Are you familiar with a bukkake?
Well, I'm going to explain that briefly for those who don't know.
Have you been involved in a bukkake? Would you like to?
You know, I've been involved with a female bukkake.
We were
squirting all over each other.
There we go.
Actually,
squirting.
I'm looking at a squirting video we did.
I was noticing there was some squirting.
Mostly, it is male.
Yeah.
You know, males ejaculating all over a female, you know, in her face or on her boobs.
On her body.
Or
my bukkake was
Have a bukkake on my ass. I
That's
actually
hot.
Interesting.
I did do that.
That's
so,
hot.
You know.
Oh,
hi.
Oh, you're still there.
Up, huh?
Yeah.
You like that bukkake on the ass thing, huh? Now, who's that? Is that Chandler?
Of course.
Oh, now he's getting somewhat aggressive.
Are you the LA Times, Chandler? No. Anyway, Chandler, we've gone way off of your topic, but that's because you're not that forceful. Okay, so we're going to say goodnight to you and good luck, and call us again sometime, and we'll talk about feet and foot jobs, which we already talked about, so we got to go.
Bye, Chandler. Good night.
Happy footing.
We love you.
That's it. Two trains, the end, period.
You've got empty eyes on one, and you've a guy from Rochester, New York.
And Rochester.
Oh. Rochester. Some familiar with the author's place of
residence.
Yes.
Okay.
Daddy.
Right. So, you want to, what do you want? We're down to, you know.
15 minutes.
Okay.
In about 15 minutes, not even. So, who do you want?
Oh, well, let's take MTRs and say hello.
MTRs, okay. Hello, MTRs.
Yeah, hi, how are you?
Good.
I only talk to girls, MTRs, sorry.
I thought you were a girl in the last call.
He was.
How are you, Susan?
I'm doing great. How are you, MTRs?
I just finished dinner and I'm driving home.
Good for
and
you.
And I thought I'd just give you a call and say hi.
Be safe. I hope you're wearing Bluetooth.
Yes, I am.
You're in.
Yeah, right. Oh, he's so conscientious because he's a dom, so he has to be.
I have to take into
consideration all those
well-being.
Things. Right.
Sure.
He's dominating everyone, so he has to make sure everyone is practicing safe sex or driving.
I just want to tell you it was great to see you and, of course, one of my dearest old friends that I haven't seen.
Veronica Hart.
Veronica Hart was here last
week.
With
MTRs.
That name is
She's
by the way, we had a wonderful time last week.
Both
she and I.
She is just...
She's such lovely company, you know. She's such great company.
Yeah, she is one of the, I mean, icons of American pornography. She was part of the initial mafia with Annie Sprinkle and...
Yes, a classic porn star.
Yeah, and all those guys and back in the 70s.
The 70s and 80s.
Yeah. So she was
and
great.
She's a, sweet, she's a very sweet lady also, you know, very nice person.
She's a very genuine person, just yeah. very down to earth.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We'd like to have her back
and
real soon.
Pretty, pretty, pretty.
Very pretty, yep. Mm-hmm. So
in
that
fact,
was a lot
I
of fun.
I might bring her back, you know, if you would like, in the next month or so. If you have a, if I have to come to LA again.
Well,
if I come on a Saturday, I'll just bring her back to your place on a Saturday.
One of the things that I wanted to do is actually bring her back and a couple of other people from the 70s and kind of do a history of the golden era of pornography.
Yes, we're going to do that with
yeah,
Ron
so
Jeremy.
With Ron Jeremy and
Annie
all these guys.
Sprinkle,
that,
your old
right, Annie Sprinkle. Yeah. And, mm-hmm. You
and
know,
Veronica.
All these old revolutionaries.
So, MTOS, tonight we're talking about BDSM.
Fetish.
Bondage. Right. Spanking.
Yeah, I heard some of the stories while I was driving. I was hearing people talk about it.
Are you listening in your car? Oh, how marvelous. That's wonderful. Yes.
Do that
who are your guests
really?
This evening, Susan?
My guests are a lovely couple, Dark Phoenix, who is dressed very well in a tie, like he's a businessman. And the lovely sub Sasha Knox,
who's mostly
who is
naked right
almost
now.
naked, yes, just wearing a slim little thong, and that's it. Her luscious boobies are on display, and she is submissive.
Would you mind if I gave her an orgasm right now, or that?
No, I think that would be a marvelous way to kind
great.
Of climax the show.
Great.
We've got just about five
excellent.
Minutes, six. 7 minutes. So
I see you have an Hitachi.
I do have a Hitachi, but we have to plug it in. Where can I plug it in without pulling out the show? Nori, help me out here. Nori,
got a power strip right there.
We've got this Hitachi. I knew you'd want this.
It's very
because
loud.
You know
I hope
what?
It's okay.
The Hitachi. I do have a.
Oh, not enough.
Not enough. No.
Not enough.
This
one
will help.
Those
granted,
pocket rockets are okay.
Granted,
you can
start
that'll
with
do
it.
That'll
here,
do
start
it,
with it, and let's figure out what to do from there. We have a pocket rocket. I'm going to give you your own pocket rocket to take home.
Now, let me give you an idea that this girl is hypersensitive. She will have 5 orgasms in 5 minutes.
In 5 seconds.
Well, good, because, you know, that's great for on-air performance, you know. Yeah. Okay, so we are... MTOS, we just want to give you sort of a World Cup description here. This is the World Cup of orgasms.
Did he have a question?
You know, he just called to check in, I think. Do you have a question, MTOS, about...
No, I was just calling to say hello to you because I had such a lovely time last week. I haven't spoken to you. And also, Susan, the good news was that I was not... You know, I was not diagnosed with a diabetic, so I really am relieved about that, you know?
You know what, MTOS, I've got some major sex happening right here. I mean, pure and simple orgasms, slapping of titties, so I couldn't hear what you just said. Sorry.
I said
she also
to you
like
that
slap in the face.
My blood test came back and I was not diagnosed with a diabetic. So I'm very relieved about
good.
That.
Oh, good. I'm
you
glad
know?
You're not a diabetic. Okay. That's excellent. Good for you. Okay. So Sasha is getting smacked right now.
They're having sex here.
And they're having sex right on the air. She's. Did she have an orgasm yet?
I'm prolonging the orgasm.
Oh, okay. Okay. We're building
for a more
here.
Climactic orgasm.
Okay.
And if we could time it right, I'll time it at the end of the show.
Well, maybe before the end so I can give credits and you can...
Oh, absolutely.
Okay, thank you.
Let's get this right.
Yeah,
let's
give
me
a
10-second right
countdown
yeah, okay.
and I'll get this girl
okay,
worked
MTOS,
up.
Okay, MTOS, we're going to have an orgasm here. Should I keep you on the line?
Eager, are we?
Yeah, it's kind of an exciting thing. I'm driving my
it's
car.
It's exciting? You're driving?
I'm listening to this lady having some kind of a...
Don't crash. Don't crash. Please
yeah,
don't crash.
Yeah, apparently.
Drive carefully.
Flying and wing, apparently, you know?
No,
oh,
no,
listen
no.
To that.
We got 7 minutes to kill. Come
no,
on.
Daddy, please.
Not quite. We really have only 5.
Oh, okay, great.
Okay.
So then we have 5 minutes.
Yeah, we have.
You gotta work.
You
it.
Actually have, let's say, 3.
Okay,
three.
Okay, great.
3 minutes.
3 minutes.
Okay, so you do your
well,
thing.
This girl will come in 5 seconds
okay.
if I let her.
Oh,
right.
Daddy.
And half of the dominance is being able to with some girl
treat.
Who's. If anybody knows the YouTube cat video, there's a... Oh, jeez, we could go into that. You have to YouTube it. It's
Mystic Cat.
Someone dubbed over the voice of the cat actually meowing, and instead they went ahead and put
it's so funny.
It's like this lion kind of.
It's a pussy.
Right. Exactly.
All right. Okay.
Hi.
Ooh.
So. And so what the cat does is it goes ahead and just talks about,
that
you know.
That pocket rocket is doing a good job.
But you should see what that does.
Okay, we will.
Well, we're going to talk about the crucifixion dildo.
Okay, and then we have the crucifixion dildo. We do. We have a beautiful Jesus jackhammer dildo made
that is
by
amazing. That's
Divine
beautiful.
Interventions. Okay, and let's see. I do have a condom for it.
Oh, good.
So I'm just finding that. So talk amongst yourselves.
Yeah. I don't think there's going to be any, like, logical
okay,
talking
here.
Okay, here
we go.
Unless I'm having a conversation with you.
Here we go. Okay, well, I have the Jesus jackhammer and the condom.
Now, where did you acquire such a
It's made by Divine Interventions.
Daddy, please.
They make,
Daddy, no.
They also make baby Jesus butt plugs.
You're kidding.
No, I don't kid about religion and sex.
Nor do I.
It's a big part of S&M and
B&D, absolutely.
Too.
Now, keep in mind, I came from an all-boys Catholic high school.
Oh.
I went to an co-ed Catholic grade school. Behave yourself. Come on, we're on a radio show. Please.
It's like you're an animal trainer.
I know, right? Exactly.
Oh, yeah. What a beautiful animal.
Yes.
Ask for my permission.
Oh, Daddy, okay. Please may I come?
No, you may not.
And,
4 minutes.
It just so
Daddy,
happens.
Please.
No.
You have 4 minutes.
Daddy,
no.
Okay, we have
no.
Just 2 minutes more for this, so we have a Hitachi plugged in for you now.
Thank you, thank you. You are a goddess
working.
Indeed.
Yes. I give. Okay, well, you got the Hitachi now. I don't think she's going to have a choice.
You may come when I tell you to.
Wow.
And that's on low.
Maybe we should take the panties off. Maybe we should take the panties off.
Shall we?
Yeah.
Daddy, please.
Oh, now we're on
Daddy,
high.
Please, Daddy,
No.
Please.
I'm so close.
What
are
you saying? 30 seconds.
30
seconds.
30?
Yes.
No.
Please.
No.
Daddy, please.
No. No. Behave. Behave.
Now.
Good girl. That's control. That's control for you. That's
okay,
training.
But
ready?
Now we have to
you
end
may.
The show.
That's an orgasm for you, ladies and gentlemen.
You know, it's made for media, brothers and sisters, lovers and sinners.
Mar. Is that window open there?
Oh, no more.
Close that window.
You don't want it anymore.
Please, Daddy. Please.
Yeah, right. I mean, we could get LAPD here hearing
that.
We've got to make sure the window's closed. That was beautiful. Let's hear it for Sasha Knox and Brother Master Dark Phoenix.
She is at my knees right now. It's so hot. Why don't you lick my boots while you're down there?
Okay, lick it up.
Good girl.
Lick it up. And do you want to promote anything? You're with Dungeon Core?
I'm with Dungeon Core, and I'm also with Dynasty Trade Media. And if you want to, visit both websites, and you could find a lot of interesting things that appeal to all different types of fetishes. So please enjoy.
Excellent. Well, you have been just fabulous guests, including
you,
Sasha, and I know you've got your mouth full.
She does.
We're going to move right into our post.
Was that you, MTS? Was that you screeching your brakes?
I hope not.
MTS, that was quite an orgasm. Thank you for being part of the airwave orgasm.
We'll see you soon, MTS.
Yeah, hope to see you soon.
The other shoe.
Yes, absolutely.
Good girl.
Okay.
I look forward to seeing you again soon. Bye-bye.
Take care. Bye-bye.
Yeah. And, thank you, Christina, for joining us.
Arizona
and
Highway.
We're just going to move into our post-show party right now because we're just about
more.
Out of time, right?
I want those things shining.
What?
We're down to
1 minute.
1 minute?
Really? So I want to thank everyone who's participated in running this show.
We also have a happy birthday boy here.
We do.
Ooh.
Don Johnson.
who actually, I heard a great story.
Actually, the fireman.
I heard a great story tonight. He saved Nina Hartley.
Really?
From a ship, sinking ship boat.
Oh my God.
The Titanic all over again.
Yeah. Oh no, we have to hear that
story.
Yeah,
that's a very funny story.
Oh wow, well we don't have enough time to hear it.
No,
he's
we don't.
Nina Hartley
and
from
a whole bunch
sinking
of
ship.
Pornographers.
Wow.
Right?
All
so,
right. Firemen on the seas.
Wow.
Great.
All right.
Well, that's a beautiful thing. And thank you, Lisa, our producer. Thank you, Max, my husband. Thank you, Mar and Michael and Juxley and Nori and Eric and Grace. And I'm just about out of time. And what? Bran, of course, Brandilio, thank you. And everybody, Inez as well, goodbye, thank you. And I want to thank you, my darling listeners, for having us in your home, your car, or your cardboard box, your mansion on a hill. I want you to be good, be happy, practice safe sex, especially if you're into S&M and B&D, and make like bonobos, not baboons. Make love to someone you love tonight, even if that someone is you. I love you. Hallelujah.
Need to talk with someone about something you can't talk about with anyone else? You can talk to us. I'm Dr. Susan Block, your mistress of the airwaves, but my day job is director of the Dr. Susan Block Institute for the Erotic Arts and Sciences, specializing in sex therapy over the phone. Anytime you need to talk, whether you need serious psychotherapy or a hot phone sex experience or a combination, my world-renowned telephone sex therapists are just a phone call away. Totally private, absolutely confidential. We listen, talk with you, advise you, role-play for you, fantasize with you, no fantasy is too taboo, and help you with anything from impotence to exhibitionism, fears to desires, fetishes to marriages. For more information, call us at 213-291-9497. That's 213-291-9497 anytime you need to talk.
You're listening to Radio Suzy One on the World Wide Web.